past week's parsha, it's parsha's bullock. So in parsha's bullock, we need to understand, number one, we find that when Bilam was riding his donkey to go curse Bnei Yisrael, so we have the whole story with the donkey. So the pasuk says, "Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'asai." Hashem opened the mouth of the donkey. Vatoma the Bilam, or the donkey said to Bilam, "Me'asisi lacha? What did I do to you, ki sani za sholish regolim, that you have smitten me three times?" Now the expression that the pasuk uses, "sholish regolim," is uncommon. It seems that shalish pa'amim, three times, shalish pa'amim would be the usual way to express three times. The fact that the pasuk uses the word shalish regolim begs for an explanation, and that's why Rashi says that the Rams Aloy, that this donkey hinted to Bilam, you're trying to uproot a nation that celebrates three Yomim Tovim in the year. We call our three Yomim Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, we call that Sholesh Regolim. So that's why the pasuk uses the word Sholesh Regolim. And we find the same expression used again when the Malach asks Bilam. The Malach Hashem said to Bilam, why did you hit your donkey three times? Again, it uses the word Shalosh Regolim. So what we need to understand here is that if indeed the reason why it says Shalosh Regolim is to hint to Bilam that he's trying to uproot a nation that celebrates three Yomim Tovim a year, well, is that the only thing Bnei Yisrael do? He's trying to uproot a nation that observes 613 mitzvahs. Why would this be the time to emphasize specifically that he's trying to uproot the nation that celebrates three Yom HaTovim a year? What is three Yom HaTovim? Why is that any better than any other mitzvah that he was trying to uproot? Later on, when Bilam arrives with Balak, so Balak makes three attempts to curse Bnei Yisrael, and each time Hashem transforms the klala into a bracha. He transforms the curse into a blessing. And it seems a bit odd that Balak didn't learn his lesson. You know, the first time he realizes that Bilam is only going to say blessings and not curses, and he takes him to one place, and he takes him to a different place, and that there also Hashem Bilam ends up blessing Bnei Yisrael, and then Balak still tries a third place. It would seem from anybody reading the parsha that Balak should have gotten the message that it's not happening. So what is the purpose? What was Balak's plan here, that he specifically wanted to try cursing Bnei Yisrael these three specific times in these three specific places? Another thing we need to understand is that Bilam, throughout Bilam's brachas, he always uses both terms, Yaakov and Yisrael. Mimono afar Yaakov, umispar Yisrael by Yisrael. Loi hibit avem bi Yaakov, loi ra amal bi Yisrael. Ma toivo eolacha Yaakov, mishkenei stacha Yisrael. Why does he keep on reiterating these two different titles of Bnei Yisrael, Yaakov and Yisrael, where it seems that they both mean the same thing? So I'd like to suggest that Balak was actually had a very thought out. He had a very thought out plan. That is that we know that Yaakov and Yisrael, the two titles that Bnei Yisrael are called, are they reference two different levels of Bnei Yisrael. Now there are three different interpretations of when, or three different possibilities as to when Bnei Yisrael are called Yisrael and when we're called Yaakov. One is when we're involved in matters of spirituality, learning Torah, davening. Those are when we're involved in those areas of Ruchnius, then we're called Yisrael. When we're involved in physical matters, such as eating and drinking and working and sleeping and so on and so forth, that is when we are called Yaakov. Now, as we know, when a Yid eats and drinks and works and sleeps, we don't do those things the same way a guy does them. We do things, everything we do for a purpose, we do for a reason. Everything is Avodas Hashem. As the Pasuk says, B'chol Drachecha Da'ehu, in all your ways you shall know Hashem. And as it says in Shulchan Aruch, everything that we do needs to be Avodas Hashem. We eat in order to have Koyach to serve Hashem. We sleep to have the strength to serve Hashem. We work to have the money in order to be able to serve Hashem. And so on and so forth. In all the different physical exercises that we involve ourselves in, they all become Avodas Hashem. So even when we're involved in those areas, we are called Yaakov. We're not just doing them like a regular person. We are Yaakov even when it comes to those areas. We might not be Yisrael when it comes to those areas. Yisrael is actually when we're involved in Ruchnius, but we are Yaakov. Another explanation as to when we are called Yaakov, when we're called Yisrael, is that Yisrael is a reference to the people that observe Torah and Mitzvahs. And Yaakov is a reference to Yidden that unfortunately do not observe Torah and Mitzvahs, or to Yidden when they are not observing Torah and Mitzvahs. Because a Yid is a Yid. And even when a Yid is not observing Torah and Mitzvahs, they might not fit the title Yisrael, they definitely fit the title Yaakov. So according to the second interpretation, Yisrael are the Yidden that observe Torah and Mitzvahs, and Yaakov are the Yidden that don't observe Torah and Mitzvahs. And then the third interpretation, as when there is Yisrael, when they're called Yaakov, is that Yisrael is a reference to Bnei Yisrael when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, when we're living in our land, when things are the way they should be. And we're called Yaakov when we're in Golus. When we're in exiled from our land during a time when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, that is when we're called Yaakov. Now, if you look at the beginning of the parsha, the pasuk says, "Vayogar Moav mipnei ha'am oid kiravu." Moav was afraid of the nation, was very afraid of the nation because they were many. And Moab was disgusted of Bnei Yisrael. So there's a reference to the to the nation, and there's a reference to Bnei Yisrael. And in essence, the the nation, is the Yaakov, and Bnei Yisrael is Yisrael. And what it says here is that Moab was afraid of the nation, and they were disgusted of Yisrael. And perhaps what the Torah Kadosh is telling us here is that Balak knew that he has no chance on overcoming Yisrael. Whatever Yisrael represents, whether it's the Yisrael, whether it represents Yidden when they're involved in Ruchnias, whether it represents Yidden that observe Torah and Mitzvahs, whether it involves Yidden that are in a time when the Beis HaMikdash is standing, he knew that he had no chance to be victorious over Yisrael. So that's why it says by Yakut, he was just disgusted of Bnei Yisrael. But what he was afraid of, and what he thought he can still do something about, was the was the nation, was the Yaakovs. He thought that he had the ability to overcome the Yaakov. And that's why when he sends to Bilam, he says, "Hine am yotzam Mitzrayim." There's a nation left Mitzrayim. L'chana or alias ha'amazeh, come curse this nation. He does not refer to Bnei Yisrael, because he didn't think that he had a chance against Bnei Yisrael. Well, actually, he knew he did not have a chance against Bnei Yisrael. He thought that he might have a chance against the which are the Yaakovs. So, the first place Balak takes Bilam is Vayiva Boiker, it says in the Pasuk, Vayikach Balak is Bilam, Balak takes Bilam, Vayalehu Bomois Baal, he takes him to Bomois Baal, Vayar Misham Ketzei Ha'am, he saw the edge of the nation. Again, Ketzei Ha'am, the edge of the nation. These are the people that are involved in Gashmias, the people that are working, the people that are eating and sleeping, the people that are involved in Gashmias. And Balak thinks that right now I can overcome them because they're no different than we are. We eat and drink, they eat and drink, we work and they work. So here is my chance. Here I believe that Bilam should be able to curse them. However, when Bilam looks at them, Bilam says, "Mi mono afar Yaakov, who can estimate the earth of Yaakov? Umispar es roiva Yisrael, who can count, who can estimate the roiva Yisrael?" And Rashi says this is a reference to marital relations. These are the most physical things people do. And Bilam takes a look at the physicality of Bnei Yisrael, and he says, "Bilam, Balak, you have no chance. Mimano afar Yaakov, no one can even estimate the afar, the earthliness of Yaakov. No one can estimate, no one can evaluate the Roiva Yisrael, even the most mundane things that Bnei Yisrael do." So when Balak saw he was not successful at the first type of Yaakov, he tried the second type of Yaakov. So the Pasuk says, "Vayomer elav Balak." So Balak says to him, "Lachana iti al makam acher asher tirenu misham." Let's go to another place where you'll see them from there. "Efes katzeu tireh." Here you're going to see the nothings of the edge. The efes katzeu. You're going to see the nothings of the edge, meaning the people that don't observe Torah and mitzvahs. Now, here, at this type of Yaakov, I might have a chance. They're not even observant. They don't fulfill Hashem's will. The truth is, however, as the Rambam says, every Yid deep down wants to do the Ratzon Hashem. Every Yid wants to serve Hashem. So even though they might not be physically observing the mitzvahs, but due to the fact that every Yid has a chelek elikam imal, every Yid has the Rebbeinu's part and parcel of the Rebbeinu's Shalom within themselves. Therefore, it is inherent in every Yid that they want to do the will of Hashem. So Balak, when Bilam looks at this type of Yaakov, Bilam exclaims, "Lo hibit avin b'Yaakov." Hashem doesn't look at the iniquities of Yaakov. "Lo ra'am al b'Yisrael." Hashem doesn't look at their faults. Why? Because Hashem elikav imoy. Because Hashem, their God, is in them. They have an neshama that's a chelek of the kamimal, and therefore, isruas melech boy. They have a desire, a reusa de libe. They have a ratzon. They have a will of the king within them. They have a will to do the will of. They have the ratzon to fulfill the will of the king. So there's no chance at cursing even the Yaakovs. So Balak tries the third type of Yaakov. Oyama Balak el Bilam. Balak says to Bilam, "Chano ekochacha el mokem acher. I'm going to take you to a different place." And what he's saying is, I want to take you to see them when they're dislocated, when they're out of their place, al makom acher, when they're in another place. I want you to see them when they're in galus. I want you to curse them, the type of Yaakov that represents Bnei Yisrael when we're in galus. Perhaps you'll be able to kick them when they're down. And that is why the pasuk says in this case, "Vayoshes el amidbar ponav." Bilam faced the midbar, the desert, which represents Bnei Yisrael in exile. And the pasuk says, "Vayisa Bilam es einav." Bilam lifted his eyes. "Vayaris Yisrael shoychein l'shvatov." Now the literal understanding of this pasuk is that he saw Bnei Yisrael dwelling according to their tribes. But perhaps the word l'shvatav can mean the staff and represents when we're being persecuted. I think there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Vayach b'shevet pisham," that Hashem smites us with a staff for our sins. So Bilam was able to look out into the future and see the Bnei Yisrael dwelling l'shvatav, dwelling in under terrible circumstances, times of shvatav, times when we're being smitten by our enemies, times that we're being persecuted. He was able to see holocausts and pogroms and all the tzoras that Yidden face in galus. But despite that, Bilam saw something that was so wondrous. And that is that despite everything that Klal Yisrael is going through, despite all of the trouble, despite all of the tzaras, nevertheless, they're still in the Bate Midrashis and the Bate Knesias. They're still in the shuls. They tell a story of that there were three Hasidim once talking to each other, three Hasidim of three different Rebbes. And one Chassid says, "My Rebbe is the greatest. He performed a miracle," and he goes on to tell how great of a miracle his Rebbe performed. Says the second Chassid, "My Rebbe is greater. He performed a miracle that was even greater." And he goes on to tell a miracle that's a most amazing miracle. Says the third one, my Rebbe is the greatest. He performed the greatest miracle. And I'll tell you the story. He said, I had the opportunity to make an investment with so-and-so. And so I went to ask my Rebbe whether I should make the investment. And the Rebbe said to me, go ahead, make the investment, you'll be successful. And I invested the money, and it went downhill to the point that the guy declared bankruptcy. So they're all waiting for the punchline. All right, so where's the miracle? So he says, the miracle is that I'm still his chassid. The Rebbeinu Shlalom, after all that the Rebbeinu Shlalom has put us through, throughout all the generations of Golos, and we're still in the Bata Midrashas, we're still in the study halls, we're still in the Bata Knesias, we're still in the Shul's davening, with the utmost Amuna. That's tremendous. And when Bilam saw that, after he saw Shoichin the Shvatav, after he saw them dwelling under the Shevet, he saw them dwelling under the staff of affliction. Bilam exclaimed, Matovu Oyalacha Yaakov, Mishkanei Secha Yisrael. How beautiful are your study halls, Yaakov. How beautiful are your shuls, Yisrael, that despite the fact of everything you're going through, you're still in the Bata Midrashas and the Bata Knesias. These three concepts of the Mimono Afar Yaakov Umispar Esrav Yisrael, that even the Gashmias of a Yid cannot be estimated, because we serve Hashem through Gashmias. That Lohibit Oven V'Yaakov Lohira Amal B'Yisrael, that despite our iniquities, we're still precious to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, because we have a neshama that's a chelik of the kamimal, because we have a rotzon, we have a desire to serve Him. We might not even be conscious of that desire, but we have that. It's an inherent desire, and the fact that we have that we're still here with our emuna despite all that we've gone through are so essential to Yiddishkeit. It's something we need to ingrain within ourselves and within our children. And I believe that this is what the three Yomim Tovim represent. The first concept of Mimono Afar Yaakov, of we can't underestimate the earthliness of Yaakov, that is represented by the Yontif of Shavuos, Kabbalah HaTorah, which we know that Hashem specifically gave the Torah to us human beings, and He didn't give it to the angels who wanted it, because Hashem wanted us to serve Him specifically through earthliness. As Moshe Rabbeinu told the angels when they wanted to harm Him for taking away the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, "Klum yetzahara yesh meneichem." You don't have a yetzahara. You don't have earthliness. What value is the Torah to you? So the Mimono Afar Yaakov is represented by the Yontif of Shavuos. The second concept of Lahibit Avim B'Yaakov, Lahira Amal B'Yisrael, that no matter how far we have drifted or how low we have fallen, we're still precious to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That is represented by the Yontif of Pesach, where we had fallen to Memtes Shari Tuma, we had fallen to the 49 levels of Tuma, and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, because we were precious to Him. That represents the Lahibit Avim B'Yaakov, Lahira Amal B'Yisrael. And finally, the third concept of Matovu Yahalecha Yaakov, Mishkanei Secha Yisrael, which represents our Emuna, despite the fact that we're in Golos, that's represented by the Yontif of Sukkos, which the concept of the Sukkah is leaving our homes and going into exile. And the Sukkah is called the Tzila D'Mehemenusa, the Shade of Emuna. It's the Oyhalecha Yaakov, it's the Mishkanei Secha Yisrael. Sukkot represents that third concept of Matovo Yalecha Yaakov Mishkan Yisecha Yisrael, despite the fact that we're Shoichin the Shvatov, that we're dwelling under the staff, under the persecution of the Golos. So when Bilam was going to curse Bnei Yisrael on these three levels of Yaakov, the Chamor said to him, why are you going to destroy a nation that observes the Sholosh Regalim? They observe the Sholosh Regalim, you're never going to be able to overcome them. Not in the area of Mimona Afra Yaakov, not in the area of Lahivitav and Yaakov, and not in the area of Matevo Elacha Yaakov. We need to ingrain these three essential messages into ourselves, into our families, into every Yid. And that tzchus will be zeicha b'karev to the fourth list of blessings of Bilam, which is all about Mashiach's times. Dorach koichav me'akov, v'kom shevet me'Yisrael, Mashiach tzidkenu will come and redeem us from all of these tzoras of galus. May we be zeicha to that time of Mashiach tzidkenu b'mehirah b'yameinu amen.